Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 3 of 3 Parts, October 13, 2015.
Myron Goldman, Elkridge Park. If it's okay with the board, I have two questions, which I believe will get responded to. I'd like to take them one at a time, if it's okay. The first question, improving student achievement should be, and I believe now is, a top priority in the district. I'd like to hear what has been done at the start of this school year to encourage better student performance, and if that warrants respond to this point, if you find out ask the second question.
Sure, I can elaborate on anything I'm missing. Mr. Null, please jump in. At previous conversations, we talked about the achievement gap and what is going to look significantly different. I want to share with the public that planning usually happens a year in advance, anticipating what the data may reveal about supports. So here we are in July, coming in knowing that events took place, budget was approved, and performance data arriving in August. And what exactly are the steps that you're going to take to make sure that the experience of the students are significantly different? We identified programs that the district currently has been operating to provide remediation and supports, and focusing on what are the core areas of need. But that's a band-aid and we need significantly more. I'm optimistic that with this budget process and being extremely deliberate about what the data tells us, and I will always make recommendations to this board, this community, on what the data shows, and hope that individuals see it the same way and want to move forward in those particular directions, and to plug gaps that we have in leadership and instruction and in programming. So what looks different now that we've been in school since September 8th? What we are more intentional about is collecting data more frequently than we've had. Which means that, and I shared with you and I'll share with others, that the first grade that a student receives in the first 30 days of school is a compelling piece of information, which unfortunately, if you're not doing well, fortunately you are, speaks to what the potential trajectory might look like. So what we've been doing is pulling grade reports and finding out who are the students that are not performing well right now, and what is it that we're doing intentionally to provide supports. We can't wait till the end of the quarter, we can't wait till the semester to find that information. So we are trying to be as deliberate as possible with the data. We recently took a benchmark assessment that the district is going to use to get a sense of this is where our kids are right now, where do they need to be, and what do we do in between that process. Hopefully in future conversations with the board, there are some recommendations I have for the fiscal year, though I know that I was not here to plan the budget the year before. But there are some needs, and I want to try to identify those now, and there will be some future needs moving forward. So a long-winded response is we're being intentional about monitoring student performance and making sure it doesn't get away from us for too long, and then we intervene, which oftentimes, not that we want to, but much longer delay in response.
I appreciate that. I hope the superintendent and the district will also be focusing on the human relations and the environmental aspect of the achievement equation, because as you were well aware, I believe the environment in school, a more personal versus impersonal environment in the school, the caring environment, the relationship between staff and kids, all of these things are really critical aspects of impacting student achievement. So while the data is of course very important, I hope the district will also be focusing on the human relations aspect of the dealing with achievement. And which I fully expect it.
Sure, thank you. Well said, yes. And I guess, you know, in our conversation, it goes without saying, but we'll reiterate. And if Dr. Beal and Mr. Sexton was an example of the impact of relationships, and just two examples from a coaching perspective, and the power of relationships and the power of believing in the potential of a student, and what happens when you provide those support mechanisms and you create a really nurturing environment for teaching and learning. So, and that's both ways in terms of providing that environment for our students, but also providing that for our teachers.
Absolutely.
As well. The gentleman earlier talked about the importance of making sure we have courageous conversations about student identity, and understanding that students come to us with multiple identities, and what does that, how is that impacting the teaching and learning? And I think those are conversations that I believe this district has had, but I think it just hasn't been consistent. I don't plan to go anywhere anytime soon. As the board has different ideas, let me know now. We're well deeply rooted, and I think that part of the consistency is going to be tremendous in making sure that that message carries over multiple years, as opposed to a break and then starting anew. So, yes, relationships do matter. We're going to have that conversation as well.
I'm really glad to hear that. The second issue, could you please describe the district's commitment and capability to reduce, if not eliminate, non-residents attending our schools illegally? And to follow up on that, could a residency report indicating the number of referrals, number of investigations, and results of the investigations for the 2014-15 year be provided to the public at some point in the relatively near future?
I'm gonna hold off and just.
That's my last question.
That's it. Thank you.
No answer.
I want to answer that, but I don't know if there's any other individuals who have additional questions that might be related to that.
Fair enough.
So I definitely will respond to that.
Sure.
Yes.
On next, and obviously that's my issue, residency. Sarah Covell, Cheltenham. So 2 years ago, I worked on a committee for the Enrollment Registration Residency Task Force. We spent valuable time researching policies of other schools and making numerous recommendations to the board. That was 2 years ago. 1 year ago, I learned nothing was recommended or done. In addition to the residency inspector was not given a contract. As a result, we did not have an inspector and no one was hired. So last month, our residency coordinator retired. And as of last week or 2 weeks ago, the job has not been posted and no one has been hired. So what's the conclusion? There's no coordinator and there's no inspector. So based on the meetings I attended, the job calls for a couple of coordinators, and at least a few inspectors based on the work. No one can just add work to their job. Residency is a huge issue. If this is happening on my street, I bet it's happening on yours. I live on a street of 25 homes where a former school member resides. And there were two instances of children attending our schools illegally. And by the way, nothing, this is like very hurtful because it happened on my street. Nothing was done for several months until I called the school member across the street from me, and guess what? Things started happening. But luckily, I had a connection. So with the increase in rentals throughout our community, residency becomes a bigger issue. But with relationships with Lynwood Gardens and the towers, we can be more efficient. I'm reminding you that my tax dollars are to educate the children in this township. It's important that the superintendent relay this to the teachers accordingly so that they feel they can report and something will be done and they can be taken seriously. Most importantly, I'm reminding you that it is illegal for a child to attend our schools if they do not live here. If you don't take residency seriously, it sends a direct message to teachers, residents, and to those students here illegally that you are allowing this to happen. This cannot wait. The previous letters to each one of you and emails to the school board, this cannot be ignored anymore. I recommend hiring residency coordinators, plural, inspectors, plural, and re-registering students every time they enter a new school, whether it be elementary, the two middle schools, and the high school. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public questions on the John, please.
With all due respect,
I'm sorry.
Well, I don't like these things, truthfully.
And could you
with all due respect,
your name and part of the township with you?
I'm thoroughly embarrassed because I know none of you. And that blame I put 100% on my shoulders.
Sir, my
name is Gordon Schwartz. I was a substitute teacher for 16 years in this school district.
You also need to say where you reside in the township. Just to confirm here. You need to say where you reside in the township, what part of the township you live in. So that we can
where?
Yes. Yes, what part of the
high school.
What part of the township do you live in?
Oh, I'm sorry, all this part.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Proceed.
Okay. I don't know what you folks do for a living, but let's just say you work in an office. And Wednesday afternoon, you do what you normally do in an office on Wednesday afternoon, whatever it is. And you think to yourself, gee, this is pretty good. I like my job, the pay is good, and I've been here 16 years. That's pretty good. And then all of a sudden your boss comes in and says, we don't need you. We don't want you. You're fired. What would you think? That's what happened to five or six substitute teachers in the school district. They did what you wanted, when you wanted, how you wanted. And yet they still were fired. We work a 5-period day. Sometimes 6, if we're short, and very, very occasionally 7. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we want to see the school run well. That's the way we feel. We would do anything for Betsy, because we all love Betsy, okay? But I get a little emotional in this, actually. There are many times, or I shouldn't say many, there are a few times that I walk through the hallways and I'm up on my period, on my off period, and I see a classroom that the teacher either hasn't gotten to, or maybe the substitute hasn't gotten to. And I go into that classroom, and I'll stay in that classroom until either I get in touch with the administrator or until the teacher shows up. That's commitment. We have 16 years of commitment and loyalty. And yet someone said, we don't need you, we don't want you, you're fired. So far as I'm concerned, I'm pushing 81. So this is probably my last year anyway. Although I said that the last couple of years, a little bit. I just want to say that I want to talk about the people who are younger than I am, who expected to work through their later years and their retire and years before they retire for a place that they like and that they would like to work in, the Cheltenham School District. These people were told they were no longer needed. That was not the right thing to do. That was not the right thing to do. I'm here tonight to ask you to reinstate the emergency certificate, if only for the people who were working with you last year, so that you can grandfather them in to allowing them to work and to finish where they thought they would finish in their later years of work. This would be the right thing to do. This would be the right thing to do. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. If there are any questions, I'd be only too happy to answer them.
Some of the comments that you made, so I just wanted to open that opportunity for you. So thank you for those comments, and I'd love to talk to you more about some of the comments you made.
You'd like to talk to me personally?
Yes, sir.
After the meeting?
I'll do that, and we'll schedule a time. So we can, if that works for you. Excellent.
That'll be fine.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to respond to some of the comments. Regarding residency. During my transition, I was invited to a meeting where it was a superintendent's welcoming, where I felt extremely hospitable, and the individuals who hosted that event. And there were a number of individuals there, and some of the, and I love these meetings because it's really an opportunity for really rich conversation that necessarily doesn't always have to happen in the superintendent's office, very similar to these walks, which is good because I'll talk about that too, because the issue of residency came up in that conversation as well. So I enjoy those opportunities. And in that conversation, I thank community members for saying, Dr. Marseille, here are some of the things we'd like you to wrestle with. I want to inform this community that when I start in July and have those meetings, that list is getting very long about areas in which individuals would like me to explore, examine, rethink, evaluate, and obviously the community has that list, the board has that list, and reports that individuals would like to hear based on findings. And out of that conversation, at that particular event, came, you know, three big nuggets of conversation. One was, how do we regain our academic stature as a learning institution? How do we ensure that the experiences that we're providing to our children is good as we want it to be, and we want others to do that? And we're good, we want to be great. And we think we can do much better than that. And here are some of the challenges that we're facing around the achievement, and achievement gap. Another conference, and they said, we're really looking forward for you, Dr. Marseille, to help us better understand that and create robust conversation about how to get there collectively as a community. The other conversation was around culture with respects to the way we are supporting or not supporting the social emotional needs of our students. Specifically, the Ovea's bullying program came up as a topic that people wanted more clarity on. They wanted to find out, what are we doing? We know we have a program. How is that connected through our collective work? And people provided evidence, their own personal experience in areas that they believe it may not be working as well as they would like for not only their family, but other families as well. And that has gone back to, like the previous number one, the list of achievement gap as areas that I've been looking into and gathering information on and looking to move. The last conversation was about residency, which I was not very familiar with, and the first time it had come up for me in my transition, and some of the concerns that community members felt about residency and the work of the district, or lack of work from the district in some statements, and then more recently in the community walks where individuals have joined me and are able to speak to that. So I want to say this. I know it's a long night and I intend to be very long-winded, so I apologize. I want to say that if you are not a legal resident of this community, you shouldn't be in our school district. It's illegal to do that. I have heard the concern. It puts a strain on the system, both academically, both instructionally, programmatically. We welcome all members into our community, but those who have legal residency. I want to share that that is, now that this has heightened concern, is that we want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence with that. I also want to say that as you come in as a superintendent in a new school district that has gone through a lot of transitions, I informed individuals that I'm hitting the ground running as I try not to hit the ground running in terms of making sure that I'm getting as much information as I possibly can without coming here and saying to this community, I know what's best for you, I've been here for 30 days, here's what we're going to do. Right? That's not necessarily a collective vision. Visions are not created by one individual, they're created by the community, which is why when this individual picks up and goes somewhere, or kicked out, this leadership and this community has had the vision, the insight on where they want to go, and we won't be too disruptive in that process. So, in examining that, it was an opportunity for me to examine where we currently are within the system, what services we put into place, how has the central registration and the residency coordinator have worked, learn about the position and their job description, learn about previous practices that the district has put into place, find out what are effective ways in which other districts are addressing those particular concerns. And as we're thinking through and with the retirement and thinking about the position and how do we make sure we reclassify and look differently at the position to make sure it continues to serve that need and other things that have come up that we need to supervise and make sure we do that. And what are the support mechanisms that we're going to use? So it is not, it has not been an item that has not gone uncontested in terms of conversation. It is the laundry list of things that we are reviewing. We have individuals in our department who are looking at residency. Residency is not related to one individual. And when that one individual is not there, there are other individuals within that department who are reviewing, looking over information. We are, the reason why the position took so long is because I wanted to think through the position. And I wanted to think about what additional resources that I'm going to ask the board for. And I want them to say yes. But for them to say yes, they have to have their appropriate information, all right? And the appropriate history behind that. So with that, we are monitoring that. We will provide information to the board with the investigations that have taken place, where we are with those investigations, who's been doing them out of Ms. Forsey's office, including herself, when there's been a void in that particular area. An area that I'm extremely concerned about, that I don't believe that that should be the individual engaging in a third tier investigation. And that third tier is the tier often goes out. I don't think that's what she should be doing. But she's been filling that role while we go through that process. The position has been reclassified, which requires board approval for that. It wasn't the same old position, which we can just reinstitute. And I'll share that with the board and ask for additional assistance in terms of when you're thinking about residency, you really get the bang for your buck in terms of preventative. It's about making sure there's enough resources, monitoring, evaluating, reviewing the documentation, as opposed to once that family or individual finds a way into the system. And people and our best efforts are going to find ways into the system, and that's why there's a third tier in terms of monitoring that. So we are taking that seriously. We are thinking through. We will post the position in a way that supports that. We will add for additional administrative assistance in addition to that. If this members of this community believe that there are individuals that may not be living in Cheltenham, but taking full advantage of our services, we recommend you to inform administration. I'm not asking individuals to go and do their own searches. I wouldn't recommend that in surveillance. But if you have that information, share that information with us. I can't speak to what happened in the past. What I can speak to is that I'm here now and we'll improve on it. If I don't, then I'll be held accountable by those who have given me the opportunity to lead this district, and I hope they do, because I will hold myself accountable as well. So that's where we are with the residency. I also want to say this. I encourage that, but I want to be very mindful about regulating residency to a particular location. I think that's unfair. I think if we're going to talk about residency, we talk about residency across the district and not necessarily pinpoint a particular location, because many might confer and realize that are we intentionally, purposely identifying one part of town, one area, and that's not our intention. As a district, we want to make sure across the board everyone feels welcome, and it's not just on one area, but at the same time, with all due respect, we don't want you utilizing school district resources if you don't live here. And we're going to examine that, whether you live over here, live over there, live over here, live someplace else. So I want to thank the two community members who came up and spoke about that. I want to thank the community members in my community walks who came out and shared that information with me. I don't know if it'll make you feel any better, but rest assured that it is an issue that we are going to we're going to address and continue to investigate, and I will share with the board what I have found and soon my recommendations for moving forward. In the meantime, try to support where we are with the handful of referrals that we have received since the beginning of the school year.
Thank you. Any other public questions? Seeing none, I will ask Mr. Calvado to give me a motion to adjourn. Thank you. You can say what meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.